Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDown300 as I record this entire intro into my Twitter to repost the show. This is not great podcasting, but we are here to break down training camp. Week one of preseason starts this week with the Hall of Fame game, but the Bears don't have their first game until next week, so they just put the pads on today. They're getting after it, and I'm here with my guy Quentin to break it all down. Quentin, how are you today, my guy?
Doing good. Just trying to stay positive while riding this Bears train, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. We haven't seen anything throughout our entire lives that would leave us thinking any other way than to just be like, well, we're going to watch every game. We'll be there. Are we going to be good? We don't know. Probably not, but Quentin, why don't you elaborate a little bit more on why you feel that way, especially at this moment in time with the team?
Man, I mean, so part of it, I'll be honest, part of it might just be frustration out of, like, the Tevin Jenkins stuff today was not fun to think through, not fun to relive through, you know, Mark Colombo and Chris Williams and, you know, a guy who has a back injury and all of a sudden
is Kareemy, like, and shit, you know?
Yeah. Like, and part of it is Tevin Jenkins is one of my favorite players in that draft. You know, for me, I mean, I'm biased. I'll admit it. I like Tevin Jenkins. I wanted him to succeed a lot. And I hope, I mean, nothing's done yet. I hope maybe, you know, this is all just a tactic to light a fire under him. I don't know. But, like, it's frustrating when you think through, man, we gave a second and a third for this guy last year. And I don't know if everyone out there missed that badly on this guy. Sure, he fell the second round, but he wasn't falling that much further than where the Bears got him. Like, I was nervous when they moved up for him because you're just giving up a lot of capital and you could have stayed put and gotten other guys who I still liked. But at the same time, I was excited because this guy is 6'6", athletic, a fit for just about any scheme that you want to throw out there, and just mean. He was what you wanted in an offensive lineman. So, like, I'm perplexed. I'm just perplexed as to what's going on right now. Like, I mean, you can throw attitude issues at it all you want. None of us are in those rooms. None of us know what's being said, what's going on. I mean, I have a hard time throwing a player's work ethic out the window that easily, personally. But I don't know what else it could be. Like, I'm perplexed.
Yeah, so there's one thing that I will say, and it's in my name for today, and that is Tevin Jenkins is not a state. And that's what we want Tevin Jenkins to be, is a state. Came from Oklahoma State, a Cowboy, like you said. 100% USDA-approved beef. Like, this guy is nasty. And we really never got to see that nasty. We saw a few games from him last season, and it was, you know, it was in the middle to the end of the season. We didn't see anything that was too overwhelming at the NFL level that says, hey, this guy is what we thought we found when we saw his college tape. And maybe, you know, the front office and the coaching are disappointed in that. Maybe they're disappointed in the amount of time they've had him available. I don't know what it is, but it's frustrating to see that so many other teams can go to the draft and get guys in many different rounds. It doesn't matter. And they'll have a use for them on their team for years on end. We haven't even gone two calendar years with Tevin Jenkins on our roster, and now we're already seeing him in, you know, the trade talks. And it's like, you're not going to get that much. What will we get back for him? A fifth round, sixth round,
fifth.
You know?
Fifth. Five tops you're looking at.
Yeah, so what?
I mean, let me put it this way. You got a second for Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
What are you getting for, like, I mean, is Tevin Jenkins going to return to you?
The NFL trades right now, the value in them are always on the team getting the player, not sending back the pick. And honestly, like, trades are just terrible. Like, at every level of sport, fantasy football, like, you go on to Madden, you turn on the trade assists, like
trade unless you're trading a draft pick.
The only like there was some good trades from like when we were kids, like maybe you might have been like a year or two. I think you're a couple years old, I mean like a year or two, but you might remember like the TO trade, stuff like that back in the day where you saw superstars get traded, but now it's just like you're trading someone that's like a disgruntled, you're trading like the, to the island of misfit toys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You we don't really have a home statement for
back. The Eagles made out like bandits in the Carson Wentz trade.
Yeah, they did. No, you're right. And then too, like the Colts get rid of Carson Wentz and then now have Matt Ryan, and we'll see if that will get them over the hump into the playoff, but I still think Matt Ryan is probably a better option in Indy than Carson Wentz. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Ultimately, the thing that really hits me the most with Jenkins, I think, is like there are only so many human beings that are 6 foot six, 320 pounds, can move like that, and are willing to just throw their hat in the chaos without thinking about it, you know? Yeah. And he's one of them. And that just, I just like, that brings a lot of hope to a fan base who wants to see a monster offensive tackle have success with their team. And it's just kind of, it feels like it just died today, you know?
Yeah. And I think to even double down on it, it's like, take a look at what we saw with the Roquan situation, or what we're looking at with the Roquan situation. It's like, why can't we find a happy medium? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how last week I said at the end of the day, the organization also has to hold up their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
Tevin Jenkins has not gotten a fair shake in a Chicago Bears uniform to prove he's the guy that we drafted. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
he's played what, 5 games down the stretch of a season with a head coach that was already fired, a GM that was already fired, and a team that was just playing for pride. And we saw a lot of fire out of that team in the second half that with the, I guess you say, with, if you don't listen to the outside noise and the national media, like if you just looked at the end of last season and how the Bears finished it, you would be excited coming into this season. But instead we get poisoned with what the local media says, what the national media says, and then now what we see with our own two eyes, with our best player in Roquan Smith not extended, our second-round draft pick in Tevin Jenkins from last year already on the trade block. Like, it can't be this hard to run an NFL franchise. Like, can it, Quentin?
I mean, it gets me worried about what's going on in the front office a little bit. And, again, I'm not in the rooms. I don't know. I don't know if Tevin Jenkins is sleeping through his alarm every day and showing up at the facility at 10 a.m. when he's supposed to be there at 6. You know, yeah, like
we don't know these things.
None of us know that. But like, I also don't know that he is. You know, I don't know that there's a good reason why he's not out there. I mean, you're talking about, you have this guy in the trade block. You haven't even seen him wear shoulder pads. This guy's best trade is when he's in pads and hitting people. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's perplexing. I've said that word a few times now.
It's a nice word. I like
it. We need more info. We need more, like, time here to see where this is going, what this results in. I hope it's not just a fifth-round pick because, I mean, we can think back to when I was a kid. We saw it with Mark Colombo. Gave up on a guy too quick, puts in 6 more years with the Cowboys after us, doing pretty dang well, you know?
That's the Chicago sports curse. You know, doesn't matter what jersey you don in this city, we get you with high expectations. You don't deliver on those expectations. You go to the next city, and those expectations are met, and then some. But Alop in the comments said that there's no transparency from the front office. They need to just tell us what's going on. And maybe not the second part, because they'll never be that transparent.
Yeah, out of the Bears front office will ever tell us what's really happening.
That's not going to happen. NFL
team will. I mean, I really don't. I don't follow another team close enough to know if they're transparent or not. But
some form of, like, look, this is what's going on with this situation. Okay, I just said what a lot wanted me to say. God damn it. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, there should be some sort of information. We shouldn't just see, hey, Tevin Jenkins is now on the trade block. He's played five games. Can't be performance-based. It has to be something disciplinary, or maybe he fucked Ryan Poles' wife. I don't know. Now Ron has to put the explicit tab on there. So when you get to this point, love you, Ron. But I just had to deliver on my end of the promise for today's show. So, but
I almost wonder, like, so Tevin went on Owen Cruz's podcast a few weeks ago. And he didn't say anything, like, bad on it. I listened to it. It was just, like, very, you know, it was a really good interview that he did with them. A lot of it was talking about his upbringing, his football background. But then he got asked, one, what are the coaches trying to focus you in on? And he said that the O-line coach and the trainers were wanting him to lose more weight to get faster off the line of scrimmage. So I wonder if there's a weight question here. And two, then Olin asked him if he was how he felt about playing with second string now. And his response was very, you know, professional, like, I can't get into that. And then Olin talks about how he'd be upset by it. And, you know, we know Olin gets upset sometimes.
I was going to say, hopefully there is no lockers in the inner around the.
But, like, I'm thinking maybe something that I missed got – he said in that interview, or maybe just the fact that he did that interview might upset them even more. Like, they put this guy on second string as kind of a motivation tactic, and they were not upset with the way that he reacted to that, like going on this former Bears podcast and, like, maybe that's, like, I'm in deep conspiracy theory, but
you have to think about it like this. No, but I think there's at least, like, a little minnow at the end of the rod, because Olin Krutz is not – I mean, he's not Walter Payton. He's not this guy that I'm wearing on my jersey right here. Like, if the Bears hosted the Super Bowl team from Super Bowl 41, you know, the last Bears team to be crowned NFC champions, you think Olin Krutz would be in the house for that? Given what's happened the last few years of his media career, and, you know, regardless of if he was in the right or the wrong, and I'm not saying I'm taking either side, because I don't want Olin Krutz to put me in a locker, clip me. But
honestly, I think Olin might be showing up. I think Olin might be showing up until someone makes him.
Yeah, but like, dude, they keep Charles Arkley out of the garden, Charles Oakley, Anything can happen in sports. Sammy Sosa hasn't returned to fucking Wrigley Field in 15 years. So sports are a weird thing. And I think if it was Lance Briggs's podcast, maybe it would be looked at in a different eye. Obviously, we will get the tinfoil hats for the Instagram reel on this one. But, I don't know. I would hope that they can figure it out and that we could hold on to a guy that we're not going to get equal value for in a trade, and that we definitely need on this roster, given what you said you've heard so far from the offensive line and training camp as far as protecting Justin Fields. But it's not great, and that's going to lead us into our next section of not great, and that is the fact that we are on day who knows what at this point, that Roquan Smith has not been extended on a contract, or – I don't even know what, you know, if there's been a meeting or anything, but he does not have a new deal yet. So
the reports are saying sides aren't close. Like, it sounds like this thing's going to drag out. I mean, I'm at the point where I'm not going to be surprised, just based on hearing the reports that they're not close. I'm not going to be surprised if he's tagged at the end of the season.
Should give him the Allen Robinson special.
Yeah. I mean, I think they want to see how big of an impact he makes in this new defensive scheme before they're going to pay him $20 million a year.
I just think that's bullshit, dude. I don't know.
I'm not the one paying $20 million a year, but I do have a nice family room, if you are watching on the stream, that would imply that I could pay $20 million a year. But I just think the proof is in the pudding. Pull up any game with the exception of when Phillip Rivers, like, scrambled and made fun of Roquan. Don't pull that game up. That game should be deleted from the mind of the NFL. But
just like the Tom Brady juking out Urlacher moment.
Yeah, no, that's the exact same thing, but in this modern NFL. And I don't know. I know we're biased because we get to see him 16, 17 times a year, and he's our guy. And as a Chicago Bears linebacker, that's a position that is like a holy position in football, if you will. The people that have played that position throughout the history of it are mostly legends. And Roquan is the next guy in that lineage. And I think the Bears would be doing a great disservice not only to the organization, but the history of the position of the Chicago Bears linebacker by not extending this guy. I think it'd be dumb as fuck.
And, I mean, this isn't a popular opinion, but I get as nervous as anyone when you're talking about paying a linebacker, stand-up linebacker, $20 million a year in the modern NFL. But there's only a couple – like, there's only a couple linebackers that can do as much for their team as Roquan does. Especially, like, if he was a run stuffer, a thumping linebacker, I'd be 100% against it. Because it's a passing league, you know? But Roquan, he takes pressure off your safeties, off your nickel corner, because of his coverage abilities. That's not your typical linebacker. And that makes me more comfortable with saying, yeah, you pay this guy the bag. He's shown what he can do. He is going to change the way your defense can play by doing more than just stuffing the run and coming up and clogging lanes. I shouldn't say just, but like, it's a different aspect. That's a run stuffer in a passing league. We have a pass coverage linebacker in a passing league. There aren't that many guys who can do what he does, which makes me much more comfortable with the idea of paying him that back.
So Lop's still in the comments right now.
Yeah, live from Hallis Hall.
Live from Hallis Hall, and I'm live from Ryan Poles' family room because he's clearly not paying attention to anything that's going on in his life. But I don't know, man. It's frustrating that it's not just prone to, like, Poles or Pace before him. Like, you look at the way that Briggs left or the way that Urlacher left, and it's like, we just have a history of just not paying the right people, at least, right? Like, we'll blow a fucking bag on a free agent, right? We'll spend every dollar in the bank account on a free agent. But why not spend it on the guy that is a 100 tackle per season guy? He creates turnovers. He can, you know, it's not like you said, he's not necessarily a run first linebacker, but it's not like he's lacking in run coverage. Like, he can still come up and make his tackles. He wouldn't be a 100 tackle a guy or 100 tackle a season guy if he wasn't making tackles in run fits. So I just
see the stat that was like, there's two linebackers in the last like 20 years to have a 2-year run with like 300 tackles and 30 tackles for loss, and it's Roquan Smith and Ray Lewis.
Yeah, really? So, yeah, that stat alone should just, like, I mean, the statue should be getting made outside of social fields right now. But,
yeah,
like I said, the history of the position, and I'm sure our older listeners will have me on my head on a stake after that. But
and I just sure feel this is the moment where him not having made a Pro Bowl probably hurts him. Because the Bears contract negotiator is probably sitting there saying, guy's never made a Pro Bowl. Not because he actually thinks that has merit, but because he thinks it can buy them some extra dollars off the contract.
And that guy should have his kneecaps broken. No, like no bullshit. But I did also see in the week absence or since the last time that we talked, that Robert Quinn does want to play here. Like, he would like to at least play out his contract, and that's refreshing to hear. I hope now that you know that he said that, though, now you know he's going to get traded. Yeah. Just as
I mean, it's nice to see a guy walking the company line at least.
Maybe he would be
open to a trade. Maybe he won't be, but he's also not against staying here, which is, you know, it's nice to have that leadership in the locker room, especially with a young team, of a guy saying, "Yeah, I want to be here."
Yeah, and too, like, he's a guy that doesn't really take any shit from the media. So I think that's something that is good to have in the locker room with the young guys, that we don't want to see get bullied by fucking Dan Wiederer and Jason Lockenfora, so, in the press conferences. But training camp has kicked off. Obviously, I have not been able to get out there. I know you haven't, because there's a thousand miles between your front door and Halas Hall. But
I would walk 500 miles.
Those boots were made for walking. We hit like two different songs, so let's go. We'll have to pull up next week in like cowboy hat and stuff. But Alap's just going nuts right now. He says Poles doesn't like players who want to stay here. He's got to find a bunch of players who want nothing to do with the Bears. Yes, pretty much a lot. But from what I've seen
as long as it's not Justin Fields he's getting rid of.
Yeah, no, don't
I
get
can
rid
be
of
somewhat him. Okay with it as long as it's enough to help him.
Don't get rid of Fields. But one thing that we talked about before we started recording, one thing that we've talked about a lot during our offseason episodes, this guy Jaquan Brisker, who looks to be the real deal. I would put any amount of money on him being the starting safety next to Eddie Jackson come this season. And yeah, I don't know, just big Jaquan Brisker guys here. Like, we can start the fan club this episode right here, right now. Like, this guy is going to be the real deal.
All reports out of camp are this dude is making plays left and right. He's savvy out there. He looks like he's been here, done that, and he's impressing everybody from what I've been reading and seeing coming out of camp. So, exciting stuff. I mean, you'd love to see that.
Yeah, and I think, too, one of the other things that you mentioned before we started was Kyler Gordon playing a lot in the slot. You said that had something to do with the potential of an injury with Thomas Graham. But I think if you look at that secondary, Thomas Graham, nickel corner, you know, when healthy, has a lot to prove, played well down the stretch at the end of last season. And then you have two rookies in Gordon and Brisker slotted in there with a third-year player and Johnson, and then Grandpa Jackson, who I think of all the position groups on that team, there shouldn't be many worries in that secondary. It should be pretty locked up. Obviously, there still will be a few touchdowns given up here and there, but I think it should be a unit that, if firing on all cylinders, can make differences in many games for this team.
Yeah, like, so Kyler Gordon, I mean, I think he's an outstanding fit in this slot. The guy's body control, his agility, his footwork is all stuff that matches the slot really well, and his aggressiveness to come downhill on the run. It's a big, big thing you need to have in the slots. When you think about when you're running a nickel defense, what are you taking away? You're taking away a linebacker, right, to put in a little guy, to put in a cornerback. That cornerback needs to come downhill 100 miles an hour on the run. Otherwise, the team's just going to keep running straight at him. So that's one thing that Kyler Gordon is actually a really good fit in that spot. On top of, like we've noted, his, you know, dancing background, his kung fu background, like, guy's body control and footwork is outstanding for any level. So that's something that also fits very well in the slot. In the slot when you're playing in traffic that much. Now, ideally, you'd like to see him on the outside, but I just saw in an Am Johns article right before the show that Thomas Graham, like you said, he's battling a hamstring injury and he hasn't been practicing. So that starts to make more sense for me, because I think Graham was probably your slot guy coming into this, and Now you're sitting there saying, we don't know if he's going to have the reps in training camp to be ready right away. We need to make sure we have other guys ready just in case. So you've got Gordon doing reps on the outside and the slot. Worst case, you have Gordon swapping into the inside when they're a nickel. When they're not a nickel, he stays on the outside. That's something I can get behind, the idea of that. Now, the question is, who is the other guy that's playing on the outside when they're a nickel? And from what I've seen from camp, it's Kendall Vildor, which, you know, draws a lot of questions from the crowd. But honestly, I think there can be worse options. When Vildor was when he was exposed last year, it was usually in man coverage. They're going to run a lot of zone coverage this year. And his numbers say he was serviceable in zone coverage. And Jonathan Wood did an article on that a few weeks back showing that his stats in zone were, like, serviceable. His stats in man were really rough. So that does give you a little more hope there. Also, you know, they got Tavon Young they brought in, who a few years ago was one of the best slot corners in the NFL. He's had some injuries since then and has had to take pay cut. You know, he got released by the Ravens. So I don't know where he's at in his career at this point. And like I said, I haven't been at camp. I can't see him doing drills. But ultimately, I like Gordon in the slot. I like the idea of Graham in the slot and Gordon on the outside better. But Gordon can really make a name for himself in the slot. It's a very important position in this defense.
Yeah, and honestly, this preseason, the receiver room and the secondary are going to be two of the most watched rooms, and not obviously for the top end of the secondary, but that nickel slot position battle, the, you know, 3, 4, 5 corner spot battle. Those are going to be interesting to watch.
The third safety spot, Kruschenk and DHC, both are guys who have played linebacker in very different ways. DHC is more of a coverage guy, while Kruschenk's more of a box guy. It'll be interesting to see how they deploy those guys.
Like, I honestly know it's hard to categorize a guy like DHC who's a situational guy, but he is fucking clutch. Okay,
you know how you categorize him?
That has seen him. Lunch fan. Yeah, he's got that.
He's got that dog in him.
I don't know. We're biased because we've had him for his whole career, but he has always, you know, gone above and beyond the call of duty to give Bears fans what we need to see from him. But I'm excited
fans
love to see
our core five special teams guys who are here for a decade playing special teams and some snaps here.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly. Pat O'Donnell, if he didn't go to the Packers, he would have been remembered forever, but now he's gone. The ones that I had growing up were Brad Maynard and Paul Edinger, and then obviously you get Robbie in there, and yeah, now we're big.
Brandon, Iabadejo.
Yeah, Iabadejo, yes, he was on the Super Bowl team. I remember
him.
Izzy
Adonijé, Sherrick McManus. We love our core
Bellamy. Bellamy was one of the gunners for
Josh
a while.
Bellamy, Bezo himself.
Just the nasty, I'm only going to play 12 plays this game, and they have the highest concussion rate on each of those plays. But I'm going to die for this team, though. And honestly, you got to fucking just tip your cap and respect that, because those guys are just trying to get – a better situation for themselves. And some of those guys did. Iabadejo got a nice big contract from the Ravens after his time here. Bellamy got a nice big contract. I would say huge, but like a big contract for him with the Jets.
Them.
Yeah.
Before
and then,
he got in some trouble.
Yeah, before he did the Bezo thing. And then we kept McManus for like his whole career, and they paid him handsomely to do what he did. And then Pat O'Donnell, if you look, he's a Green Bay Packer. And I hope that at least in one of the two games that we play against that slick-haired bastard, that we block one of his punts. But that's neither here nor there.
We'll probably shank a few in big spots.
Yeah, and at the kicker position, Cairo Santos, we look to build on another.
Carlos?
Yeah, Carlos, Cairo. Yeah.
Canary Santos, and Trenton Gill. So those are the two guys that they have as the kicking specialist for this year. Obviously, we don't really know too much about Trenton Gill. I would have to. What's his nickname?
Mr. Manners.
I don't hate that for my kid. I don't hate that for my punter, but like any other position in football, I don't want that as your nickname. That's what makes it
so great.
Yeah.
What is it? Oh, he's a punter. Okay, that's okay.
Yeah. Okay, he's a punter. We can let that slide. But other than that, so there are more offensive line news, if you will. Lucas Patrick.
Broken thumb. Yeah. His snapping hand, broken thumb. Supposed to be out till week one. Optimistically, maybe he'll get back a week before that and get some extra reps with Fields. If not, I wouldn't be surprised if your boy Sam Mustipher starting week one.
Yeah, I don't think he might not have his lungs yet, bro. That's going to be too quick to go from like, I have not been at game speed or, you know, live reps to the point, you know, where his team is at to, yeah, I'm going to be starting week one of the NFL season. I don't know.
So the other question could be, do you have white hair bumping back inside to center? Do you have the kid out of Illinois, Doug Kramer, jumping in and starting at center?
For week one at a spot start, why not?
They're keeping all their options open because also, this is the other interesting thing to me. Lucas Patrick has played plenty of snaps at guard. You can play guard with a broken thumb or a just healed thumb. The main reason why he wouldn't jump in starting right away is really just because, one, he's snapping the ball. Two, he doesn't have the reps with Fields. And that center QB exchange is important. So do they slide him in at guard and put someone else at center early on? I mean, I haven't heard any rumblings about that. That's my own speculation. But, I mean, if you're trying to get your best five guys out there, he's one of your best five.
Yeah, and I think that's I've seen it too with they usually wear that club, right? Like that full fisted club where it's honestly a weapon. But I think with the Bears offensive line, I think
as offensive linemen, it's a detriment to your play though, because your fingers matter, you know, your grip matters a lot, and you can't really grip wearing a club. But he's still one of the best five, regardless.
You need that as a D end to just like, just give him a Deacon Jones head slap. But the offensive line in the state that it is still concerning, especially with Fields being, you know, the pride and joy of this franchise right now, what we're looking forward to with the future. And if you can't keep him protected, all I can think about is like the Andrew Luck situation where he's just like, I'd rather not play football than suit up to play football under these conditions.
And he's supposedly
it's an OSHA violation for him to get in the fucking pocket with this offensive line.
Yeah, supposedly today was rough at camp for the O-line. Rough day. Hopefully, I mean, you know, it's going to take a few weeks for Riley Reiff to blend in with the other guys. Same with Michael Schofield. They haven't played much with any of these guys. The wild card at center, I think, really makes it tough because there's a clear thing. These Shanahan offenses – their center is very important to them. Their center matters a lot to making the calls on that O-line. And to know what he's doing out there is a key point more so. Like, it's a key point in every offense, but I think a little more so in the Shanahan offense for him to be the point man on the O-line. And right now they're choosing between Mustipher and Doug Kramer to do it. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Whitehair jumping back in on it. But Lucas Patrick has years of experience with Luke Getsy running this offense, and losing him is big. I mean, he'll be back early in the season, but it's going to hurt for camp because these guys' chemistry and these, like, building that chemistry, that communication level with each other is so important. And Reiff and Schofield are still getting used to the other guys out there. Hopefully they get better as time goes. I mean, I'm sure they will. Obviously, they're going to get better. They're NFL veterans. They know what they're doing. But that center position is just concerning to me. I hope Patrick can, you know, beat that timetable by a week or two and end up out there week one, just because it's going to matter a lot for this offense.
Yeah, and for our fellow conspiracy theorists, just make sure that you know that he's not a double agent. He actually has a broken thumb. He is out. He's not just a mole sent here from those Jaguars in Green Bay, but it's frustrating because it's always something. You know, we press the red button to start a broadcast, and it's this guy hasn't gotten paid. This guy's getting traded. This guy's thumb is in two different spots, and it's just like, yo, what went well? Quentin, what went well in training camp this week outside of Jaquan Brisker?
Hey, we signed Riley Reiff since the last episode. That's a win, as far as I'm concerned. Very average left tackle, and that's a serious upgrade for this offensive line.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're very average and coming to this offensive line, like, you're basically prime Jonathan Ogden or Orlando Pace at that point, you know, in comparison to what we got. So,
especially, he's probably a little below average in his run block. I wrote an article about this last week. Probably a little below average in his run blocking. Not so much a difference maker as a run blocker, but historically above average in pass protection. So that's, you know, playing to this O-line's weaknesses kind of offsets it a little in my mind.
Yeah, and I mean, he has a name that is extremely close to Riley Reiff. If you know, you know. Just kidding. Do you have any final thoughts on the first week of training camp? We'll go a step further. What do you want to see in this next week ahead of the first game, which is the Matt Nagy Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs on August 13th.
All right. One thought. Justin Fields will prevail. I want to see him stack another week like this week. That offense had a rough day today. I don't think it was because of Fields. He was stacking some good practices on top of each other for most of last week. I want to see him do it again and again and again, because I'm becoming more and more – I mean – it's not hard to convince me, but I'm becoming more and more of a believer that he is that dude. And when he's just stacking these good practices together, we haven't seen a quarterback do that since Jay Cutler's interception-less 2014 camp.
No, you're right. And, I mean, the second the guy said my Chicago Bears, like, I was convinced that he was going to win a Super Bowl for us, and that was – before they even announced the pick. So I knew it was Justin Field at that point. And, yeah, it's that second year. It's time. We talked about it last week. Ultimate competitor. He's not a guy that is used to losing, okay? Eventually, there's something that has to give, right? The Bears are a franchise that's not used to winning. Justin Fields is a guy that's not used to losing. We're either going to win with Justin Fields or we're going to lose to the point where Justin Fields doesn't want to be here anymore. Look at it like that. Justin Fields will prevail, as Quentin said, in this week of training camp against friendly fire, where he can't be assaulted unless he somehow becomes Josh Allen. I don't know if you saw that clip this weekend where the red jersey means nothing in Buffalo, but I just think Fields in this time with the new era, with a questionable GM, with a new head coach that we don't know what we're really going to get, I wouldn't hate seeing like almost that backyard football type of football that we saw from Fields at Ohio State, where, yeah, sometimes it's a broken play, but Justin has the cognitive ability and he has the athletic ability to go out there and make chicken soup out of chicken shit. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know where that puts us as a team as far as the trajectory of the rebuild. But for this year, I think it's going to lead for some exciting football with Justin Fields. And other than that, I don't really have too much else to talk about for this week.
Yeah. Two things. One, I do not want that chicken soup made out of chicken shit. I'm avoiding that one.
Yeah.
Two.
Still probably won't eat it. Yeah.
I've loved what I've heard about out of and about Matt Eberflus since camp started.
Yes.
I think this guy's a very good coach. I think it's shining through right now, and I'm a big fan of the coaching hire so far.
It's just polls that we got to
– That's where I'm a little more
– Smack him around the head and get him in line.
I mean,
but
he has a full year to show us what he's doing. As far as I'm concerned, he has the full year. It's not off to a great start. But if he can finish the year strong, like 1 year from now, if we're looking good, it's a clean slate, you know?
Yeah. All right. So my one thing, I skipped out on this. My one thing that I want to see in camp this week is a clear number two receiver emerge. It doesn't have to be named, but I want to see someone crack away at becoming that number two receiver in the Chicago Bears offense. Maybe
does
it's
that to be a receiver?
Man, it's gonna end up being Cole Kmet, isn't it?
Cole Kmet's eating up the seam at camp. Your boy's just destroying that seam lately.
Hey, I wouldn't hate to see that, but I honestly would also like to see a receiver make his impact on this offense. But, yeah, the first week of camp is in the books. We will be back next Monday. Hopefully have a full house to recap the second week of camp and then get you guys ready for the first preseason game. Like I said at the top of the show, the first preseason game of the NFL is this Thursday. It's the Hall of Fame game. As you all know, that standalone, you know, the beginning of the football season, that standalone game on Thursday night up in Ohio. And it's the Jaguars and the Raiders this year. And as Quentin alluded to when
Thursday
before we
night
started,
football, if I've ever heard
yeah,
it.
That's the most Thursday night football matchup you could ever imagine. And then other than that, there hasn't really been too much NFL news that pertains to our show. So we'll just, we'll leave you guys on this note. Like Quinn said, just remember, at the end of the day, Justin Fields will prevail. We're just going to be there hanging on the coattails along for the ride. We got nothing else for you guys. Come back and join us on next Monday's show. We'll get into the second week of training camp and get you guys ready for week one of the preseason against the Kansas City Chiefs and that bald fraud. But we got nothing else for you guys. And bear down.
Bear down.
Forgot, both those frauds are bald.